think the most wonderful victory that the Lord can give any of us is when things come our pathway that are hard to accept, to remember that He does all things well. He accepts it. We accept this from His hand. He loves us, and we thank Him for it. This chapter, the 10th chapter of the book of Hosea, and for you who have not been in on these studies, we will not go back. We have a book back there on it, so if you're interested in understanding this, why, there's a book that you can get and read. In our last lesson, at this time, the 10 tribes, which is called Israel or Ephraim, they're in rebellion against the Lord, and the Lord is getting ready to carry them away into captivity. And in the 8th verse, we read of the 10th chapter, the high places of Avon, the sin of Israel shall be destroyed. These were all idol places. They had set up their idols. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, cover us, to the hills, fall upon us. This is what man is going to say at the end when the tribulation begins to come upon this world. They're not going to call upon the living God, but they're going to call upon these dead mountains to fall upon them. They don't want to feel the effect of the judgments of God, but they're coming. The Word says this, and we believe the Word. We believe the Word. If man doesn't want to believe the Word, he's the one who needs to have his eyes opened. In this 9th verse, he says, O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood, the battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. We've had this regarding Gibeah before in this study of Hosea. This is the third time now that God, through Hosea, refers to the days of Gibeah. They were mentioned in the 5th chapter and the 8th verse. Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Beth Avon after thee, O Benjamin. Gibeah means a hill. And then in the chapter 9:9, we read, they have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore he will remember their iniquity, he will visit their sins. Sin is a terrible thing in the eyes of the Lord, and this is what he is going to judge. Now, when we were studying it today, we were looking to the Lord, as we always do, and the Lord led us to go into this that happened at Gibeah. Why does he remind them of those days? Three times in this book, he reminds them of those days in Gibeah. The account of this is given in the book of Judges in the 19th chapter. We're going to look at this tonight. Why did God bring this up so much here? They had never asked forgiveness. You know, it's a wonderful thing when we know that we have walked against the Lord, that we can go to Him and ask forgiveness. It's a wonderful thing. And Israel never did this after this, what happened in Gibeah. This book of Judges is quite a book. We taught it many years ago, and Brother Coffin or Sister Bodie, one of them, has written a book on this book of Judges. In this book of Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. He wasn't concerned about what God thought about things. From chapter 19 to chapter 21 of this book of Judges, it comprises a separate portion, and it begins and ends with the words, in those days there was no king in Israel. Now today, there is no king in Israel. This is typical of today in which we are living. One of these days, the king is sitting up there, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's waiting to come back. He is their king. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. But in this day, there was no king in Israel. It's mentioned here in the 19th chapter, the first verse, and it's mentioned in the last verse of the book of Judges, in chapter 20 and the 25th verse. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that's what's going on all over the world today. Every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. This period here typically represents the Laodicean condition. Laodicea in the book of Revelation, and we have our chart over there. But Laodicea means lukewarm. We mentioned this in our study Sunday. And this is the condition in Christendom today, is lukewarmness. And the rights of the people are emphasized more than the authority of the Lord, rather than being subject to the Lord. Here in Israel, God was their king, he was their husband, but they refused his authority over them. They told him to leave them. They didn't want him to have control over their lives. They wanted to do that which they thought was right in their own eyes. In Judges 19:1, we're going to read this one chapter and read it through, and we'll understand what is typical here. This is what the Lord has laid upon our hearts tonight, is looking into this. Why is this here? Why is this mentioned three times? Because it's typical of the day in which we're living. Judges 19:1, and it came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levite sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim, who took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah. And his concubine played the whore against him, and went away from him unto her father's house to Bethlehem, Judah, and was there 4 whole months. And her husband arose and went after her to speak unto her heart, is what's in the Hebrew, to speak unto her heart, and to bring her again, having his servant with him, and a couple of asses. Now notice what he takes with him. And she brought him into her father's house, and when the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him. And his father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him, and he abode with him 3 days. So they did eat and drink and lodge there. And it came to pass on the 4th day, when they arose early in the morning, that he rose up to depart. And the damsel's father said unto his son-in-law, comfort thine heart with a morsel of bread, and afterward go your way. And they sat down and did eat and drink, both of them together. For the damsel's father had said unto the man, be content, I pray thee, and tarry all night, and let thine heart be merry. And when the man rose up to depart, his father-in-law urged him. Therefore he lodged there again. Now all this is typical. Let's follow us. If you want to understand this chapter, listen. And ask the Lord to take your mind off everything else, because this is a very important chapter. The 7th verse, and when the man rose up to depart, his father-in-law urged him. Therefore he lodged there again. And he rose early in the morning, and on the 5th day to depart. And the damsel's father said, comfort thy heart, I pray thee. And they tarried until afternoon, and they did eat both of them. And when the man rose up to depart, he and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the damsel's father, said unto him, behold, now the day draweth toward evening. I pray you tarry all night. Behold, the day groweth to an end. Now this is typical of the day that we are living in. The day of mercy is drawing to an end. Now let's have respect tonight to the word. We're here to hear the word, so let's have respect. That's one thing I love, is this word. The day groweth to an end. Lodge here, that thine heart may be merry, and tomorrow get you early on your way, that thou mayest go home. This is what Satan wants people to do today, instead of listening to the things of the Lord. But the man would not tarry that night, but he rose up and departed and came over against Jebus, which is Jerusalem. And there were with him 2 asses saddled, his concubine also with him. And when they were by Jebus, the day was far spent. And the servant said unto his master, come, I pray thee, and let us turn in into the city of the Jebusites and lodge in it. And his master said unto him, we will not turn aside hither into the city of a stranger. This is not of the children of Israel. We will pass over to Gibeah. And he said unto his servant, come and let us draw near to one of these places to lodge all night, in Gibeah or in Ramah. And they passed on and went their way. And the sun went down upon them when they were by Gibeah, which belongeth to Benjamin. And they turned aside thither to go in and lodge, and to lodge in Gibeah. And when he went in, he set him down in a street of the city, for there was no man that took them into his house to lodging. And behold, there came an old man from his work out of the field at even, which was also of Mount Ephraim. And he sojourned in Gibeah, but the men of the place were Benjamites. And when he had lifted up his eyes, he saw a wayfaring man in the street of the city. And the old man said, Whither goest thou, and whence comest thou? And he said unto him, We are passing from Bethlehem, Judah, toward the side of Mount Ephraim. From thence am I. And I went to Bethlehem, Judah, for I am now going to the house of the Lord. And there is no man that receiveth me to house. Yet there is both straw and provender for our asses. And there is bread and wine also for me and for thy handmaid. And for the young man which is with thy servants, there is no want of anything. And the old man said, Peace be with thee. This here is Jehovah Shalom. Peace be with thee. It's one of his titles. Howsoever, let all thy wants lie upon me. Only lodge not in the street. So he brought him into his house and gave provender unto the asses. And they washed their feet and did eat and drink. Now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, Bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him. And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, Nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is come into mine house, do not this folly. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them I will bring out now, and humble ye them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you, but unto this man do not so vile a thing. But the man would not hearken to him, so the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her, and abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light. We hear of things like this today. And her lord rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. And he said unto her, Up, and let us be going. But none answered. Then the man took her up upon an ass, and the man rose up and gat him unto his place. And when he was come into his house, he took a knife, and laid hold on his concubine, and divided her, together with her bones, into 12 pieces, and sent her into all the coast of Israel. And it was so that all that saw it said, There was no such deed done, nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider of it, take advice, and speak your minds. Now the next two chapters deal with this also, and I would advise and admonish you to finish it up. But tonight we're just going to cover this one chapter. Now we have a type here. This certain Levite that we read of here represents the Lord Jesus Christ. He represents him. The woman, this concubine, represents Christendom, who claims to be the bride of Christ. She is a concubine, not his lawfully wedded wife. She's a concubine, not legally married. The father of this concubine, in verse 2, figures the Gentiles of whom the woman was a part. Many in Christendom today are from the Gentile nations. We're all Gentiles. In this first verse, the Levite, he sojourned on the side of Mount Ephraim. Ephraim means a fruitful field. And he took this concubine. She wasn't a virgin, nor was she wedded to him. However, the relationship was lawful back in those days. In verse 2, we read this concubine played the whore against him. She had other lovers, which speaks to us that the church has yielded to other heads and influences of men rather than the Lord. In Acts 5:29, when Peter and the apostles were called before the Jewish Sanhedrin, and they told them they couldn't speak anymore in the name of Jesus. Peter says we ought to obey God rather than man. And this is what we need to do today. We need to obey God rather than man. In this third verse, we read here that her husband arose and he went after her. In Deuteronomy, and we won't turn there, but in Deuteronomy 24, in the fourth verse, we read that a husband need not take a woman back again if she had done this. It was against the law of Moses. But in the type here, this speaks of God's grace that reaches beyond the law. God's grace, Jesus Christ fulfilled the law when he died on the cross. And his grace, what's that song we sing? Grace, grace, wonderful grace. His grace goes beyond anything, and we thank the Lord for it. So he went after her. This is what Jesus Christ has done to each one of us. Type here of having another husband, it could be another organization that has control of us. It can even be our old man that has control of us. In Romans 7, we read of this. We yield to that old creation. He is the head instead of us allowing the Lord to be the head of us. So this Levite, a type of Christ, he goes and seeks out this woman to speak unto her heart. I love that. To rekindle the love that she had for him. There are many of God's people out there today like this. They've gone after other things, and they have allowed Satan to come in and turn them aside. They've taken other heads. The servant here that this Levite had represents the Holy Spirit, and this makes us think of Eliezer. And the asses speaks of the things God brings that are necessary to make us full overcomers. We have to ride these things. It's like the camels, but the asses speak of those things that we have to get the victory over. Now, this woman had accepted the Levite as her husband, as we read in the first and second verses. But by her flirtations with the world, which is her father here represents the world, she proved herself unworthy of this union with Christ. When we flirt with the world and we yield to the things that Satan has, he's a god of this world. And if we yield to the things that he draws us away after, we are not worthy of this union that we have with him. But he went after her anyway. His love is beyond any of us understanding, that he loves us in spite of us, in spite of the things of the rejection of him, in spite of the everything that we could name that the old creation will do, ignore him, put him on the back burner, we used to say, that he isn't the preeminent one in our lives, yet he loves us in spite of that. This is the way he is with Israel today. He loves that nation in spite of everything that they have done, and the worst thing they did was rejection of his son. And he loves them in spite of it all. In verses 4, 5, the fourth verse and the fifth verse and the eighth verse, we have the total there of 5 days. The fourth verse, they stayed 3 days and he urged them to stay. He stayed another day, and in the eighth verse, he arose early in the morning on the fifth day to depart. This represents this age of grace. And notice the words, as we said, the day groweth to an end. This age is drawing to an end. And he that has ears to hear and a heart to understand and eyes to see can open their eyes and they can see that it's about over with. So these events in this book of Judges here, they figure the time when the three ranks of the true church will be at home in the glory with the Lord. They will already be up there. The Lord will be king of kings. He will be sitting on his throne. That crown represents that. And the middle of the week, these three ranks, the first rank, second rank, and the third rank will be up there. And this is the time that this represents. And this concubine figures the professing church, the thing that is left, who proved false to the Lord. They didn't want him. They wanted material things. They wanted to have their way. They wanted to do what they thought was right. The only thing that's right is found in here. And this is what the Lord wants to teach each of us. So Christ has to deal with her according to her unbelief, this false church. He has to punish her for her false relationships that she bears to him. And he holds her responsible. And the Lord does this with each one of his people. He holds us responsible for the truth that we have heard and the truth that he has revealed to our hearts. And if we turn our backs upon what we've heard, and especially what he's revealed to us, he holds us responsible. He leaves us. And this is what he did here. He left this concubine to go through the tribulation days, typically now we're speaking of. She's going to have to go through all those terrible judgments. And in reading the next two chapters, at which we did, there were thousands and thousands. They had war here. And there were thousands. In one place, in chapter 20, and verse 21, there was when the children of Benjamin came out of Gibeah, they destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day, 22,000 men. That's not the only time here. There's another time when there were 25,000. And I've thought over the years, look at the people and that first generation that came out of Egypt. All that first generation, their carcasses fell in the wilderness. Those bodies just laid there. Think of the bodies that are over there in that land, just gone, back to dust. Well, those next two chapters tell of that. In verses 10 to 12 here, when he talks that the man would not tarry that night, but he rose up and departed, came over against Jebus. Jerusalem here at this time is no longer known by its name, which means whose foundations are peace. That's the meaning of Jerusalem, whose foundations are peace. But it is Jebus, which means trodden down, trodden down. Now let's go over to Luke. Hold your place in Judges. We're talking about the future, which is right here at the door. In Luke 21 and the 24th verse. Let's start with the 20th verse. Chapter 21 of Luke and the 20th verse. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereunto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. This is the national purpose. The times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled when Jesus Christ takes his throne. The times of the Gentiles. Then I'd like to read 1 Chronicles 11 and the 4th verse. I love the types in the Old Testament. They are living. These people, and as we have mentioned, everyone that's taught has mentioned that everything that happened here in the Old Testament was written for our admonition and learning upon whom the ends of the ages have come. We're living now at the end of all the ages. We're living now. All these dear ones, some of them were wicked people, some of them were godly, but they went through everything to teach us something, to admonish us. God holds us responsible because we've got all of this to learn by. 1 Chronicles 11 in the 4th verse. And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jebus, where the Jebusites were, the inhabitants of the land. That again just bears out that Jesus here is, that Jerusalem now is Jebus. And here in Luke, and as well as in this type in Judges 19, Jesus here, the Levite, is a stranger in that city. Jesus, when he came, was a stranger in the city that he made. They didn't want him there. They crucified him. What did they do? They thought they defiled their city. and they took him outside of the gates to crucify him. Jesus is a stranger. He's a stranger here in this country to many of God, many people. And Jesus here, and let's go over to Revelation if we will, to this group of saints, Revelation 3 and the 20th verse. This is to the church again of Laodicea, the lukewarm. And I want to read this account of this church. Remember, they are part of the church, but they are lukewarm. They are not obeying God. And under the angel, the 14th verse, under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, say the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Do you get a picture of this woman here? That's how she was. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. This is what God's people need today. They need their eyes anointed with the Holy Spirit. Dear ones, we give out these truths because we know that the natural man will not receive these truths. But we give them out because they are truths. They're God's word. And all these things are warnings. To everyone that hears, they're warnings. The 19th verse says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. We have a picture at home of Jesus standing at this door and knocking. But the artist that painted that knew that the way to open the door was from the inside. He had to open it from the inside. Jesus couldn't turn the latch and go in. He had to wait for the individual to open that door. And I thought about the Song of Solomon. When he came to that Shulamite, and she was too tired, or and she'd gone to bed, and she didn't open the door to him. She learned. We can learn this. We can learn that we have to open the door of our heart to let him in. He's got the right to our door. But he, like Brother Hill has said, he was a gentleman. And he'll stand out there, and he'll knock, but he won't go in. And in the 21st verse, he says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. But notice, to him that overcometh. We have to overcome every obstacle. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. There are only two churches in the seven that Jesus said they didn't have to repent. And that was at Smyrna and the Philadelphia. Smyrna represents those who will be resurrected in that bridal company. The Philadelphia represents those who will be living in the bridal company, be translated. Those two didn't have to repent because they had let the Lord work in their lives. Their door was open. All right, back here in Judges 19, in this 13th verse, 13 and 14, and he said unto his servant, come and let us draw near to one of these places to lodge all night in Gibeah or in Ramah. And they passed on and went on their way, and the sun went down upon them when they were by Gibeah. Gibeah was a city of Benjamin, which had become as Sodom all over again. Do you know that in Israel, we just watched the news last two or three days, they had a march of gay rights in Israel? They are wicked. They are wicked. There is a remnant there, but the nation is wicked. They have left off their love for Jesus Christ. There are a few in Israel that are born again. Then there will be some who will be in that 144,000, because every one of them are Israelites. God's preparing them. But the majority of them are sinful. Now this old man, and I think this is good, in the 16th verse, this old man of Mount Ephraim, he's the only one that shows any love. And it shows the how brotherly love had failed. Philadelphia means brotherly love. And it had grown cold. People didn't love their brothers and sisters in the Lord. They would let them get by as they could. But in 1 John, John admonishes us to love our brother when there's a need. All right, in verses 22 to 28 that we read here about these men of Belial that came and wanted in to use the man or use this Levite, and they threw out the concubine. In Jeremiah, if we'll turn there, Jeremiah 23 and the 14th verse, this is what Christendom has produced, is the same evil fruit as these ungodly people. They just throw them out. Jeremiah 23 and the 14th verse. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery, they walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Remember what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Remember Lot? Lot had to flee because that whole city was like that. Let's go back to Genesis, the 19th chapter. This is what the world is becoming like today. It's like this. It was like that back there in Hosea's day. Genesis 19, and there were only two angels, and these angels represent the Godhead. There were only two that came to where Lot was at Sodom. Lot chose to sit in the gate of Sodom. He was a righteous man, but he chose the world. And this is what happened to him. And Lot, seeing them, these two angels, the Godhead, he bowed himself in the first verse with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. This is chapter 19 in the second verse. And tarry all night and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. We see quite a contrast when three of these, the triune God, went to Abraham. He washed their feet, but we don't see Lot doing that. The fourth verse, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. This two of the Godhead appeared in manly form. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Talking to Lot. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the man that these two, two of the Godhead, put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both great, small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. God can do anything. There's a little course. God can do anything. He can do anything. And I want to read down through the 14th. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Do you know the Lord is getting tired? Do you know he wearies? He wearies, and the scripture tells us this. He wearies of the wickedness of man. You never think of him wearying, but Jesus is a man. He feels as we feel. We weary of the wickedness and the sinfulness that's going on in this world today. It tires us out. This is what Jesus, he feels that same way. The 13th verse, he says, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. Now notice what they said. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. This is what a saint does. If he is involved in the world does not take him serious. They don't think he's a Christian because he's walking just like they are. We are not of this world. He doesn't want us to act like this world. Lot did, and therefore his son-in-laws didn't even believe him. This is sad. This is sad. And when the morning arose in the 15th verse, and the angels hastened Lot, they had to hurry him up, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the punishment of this city. And while he lingered, Lot, he delayed. The men laid hold upon his hand. Isn't that sad? And upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And he was merciful because of Abraham's intercession. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. They had to pull him out of the city. You know, there's some of God's people that are going to have to be pulled out. They don't want to leave this sinful world. Christendom, though, has produced this same evil fruit as the world has produced. Now, how can we say that? Let's go over to 2 Timothy. Keep your place, if you will. Christendom today, and it's a sad thing, but I'm going to read from 2 Timothy, the third chapter. I brought my Scofield because there's a Scofield note here that we want to read from. 2 Timothy 3 and verses 1 to 5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, or dangerous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. You see this today? Me first. Me first. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, what God say, from such turn away. Now this, in Scofield, in the first verse, when that verse reads, this know also, he has a note down here. He says, this is the apostasy. An apostasy is a falling away. It is the act of professed Christians who deliberately reject revealed truth as to the deity of Jesus Christ, as to redemption through his atoning and redeeming sacrifice. And he gives the scriptures if you have a Scofield Bible. Apostasy differs, therefore, from error concerning truth, which may be the result of ignorance or heresy, which may be due to the snare of Satan, both of which may consist with true faith. The apostate is perfectly described in 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. The apostates depart from the truth, but not from the outward profession of Christianity. And you could go ahead and read some of that. In the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy and verses 3 and 4, here we read, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Isn't that sad? They don't want to hear the truth, so they turn their ears away from it. And the first chapter of Romans gives us more on that. Well, let's go back to Judges. Talk about these sons of Belial in verse 22. These men that came around that house like they did back there in Genesis 19. Behold, here, the 22nd verse. Now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about. We have some wonderful typical teaching here. These sons of Belial represent the kings of Revelation 17. Let's turn to Revelation. Hold your judges, if you will, please, so you won't. This is exactly what the kings of the world are going to do. Remember concubine represents, representing Christendom. Now notice here in Revelation 17, 1 and 2. And there came one of the seven angels, and these are represent the bridal saint, which had the seven vials. They will be pouring out the judgments that are in the world, that will come upon the world. And they talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. These sons of Belial represent these kings of the earth. First, they want the Levite. Remember there in Judges, they wanted him to come out, which represents Christ. But it was to hurt him. It wasn't to help him. But Christ, as that Levite, will deny and refuse any association. And he turns the false church, this woman, over to them with whom she has been in fellowship. Remember, she went to her father, which represents the world, the Gentile world. She went back to that. She had been having fellowship with them. Here in Revelation 17, 16 and 17, And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, thee shall hate the whore, shall make her desolate and naked, exactly what they did there in Judges 19, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, the Antichrist, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. God, this is God's word. And what happened back there is typical of this. Oh, this word's wonderful. Back here in Judges 19 and the 27th verse, when she comes back after her mistreatment during the night, in the 27th verse, and her Lord rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. By putting her hands on the threshold, she was calling out for protection, which she could not find. There was no protection for her. And this is what's going to happen to this false church, Christendom. In verses 29 and 30 of Judges, this Levite takes her body, because she had died, and he dissects it into 12 parts, representing Christ's body. She was a believer, but she was a professor. And the church here, this represents the church that has been cut up into sects and divisions, because unregenerate men have been allowed within, claiming that they belong to the Lord. This is all we see here, all of this. And it went on back in Paul's day. Now, if you can't follow this and would like a book on Judges, we can get you a book on Judges, because this is where this was written, I believe, by Sister Bodie, and it's very good. In 1 Timothy, this was going on in Paul's day, 1 Timothy 1, 19 and 20. Now, this is why Hosea refers to this time three times, because it was a serious time in the nation Israel. 1 Timothy 1, 19 and 20. The 18th verse says, This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by or in them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. There are many that are blaspheming, many God's people, believers, that blaspheme the word of God. And this is what's going on today. In 2 Timothy 1, the first chapter and the 15th verse, Paul says, wrote to Timothy, This know thou knowest that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. See, Paul had some that turned away from the truth, just as many today are turning away from the truth. They don't want to hear it, so they turn away. Now let's go to Acts in the 20th chapter. This is what he told the Ephesian elders as he was going to Jerusalem on that ship. They made a stop, and he called the elders of Ephesus to come, and he talked to them. In the 28th, Acts 20, 28, he said, Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. See, we're being warned tonight, aren't we? Through the word. We're being warned that these things are going on. By sending the concubine, these 12 pieces, to all the 12 tribes, it tells us that all nations have been guilty regarding their fellowship with this harlot. We see that the leaders of the nations today, that many of them go right over there to the Vatican. They're in fellowship. They want her agreement with what they do. And in chapters 20 and 21 of Judges, we see in type other so-called Christian nations turning on one another. And that we read in Revelation 17. This nation is not Christian. There are Christians in this nation, yes, but it is not Christian. But this is God's will, as we read there in Revelation. All right, let's go back to Hosea. I'm going to finish with one or two verses here. This is why this was so important to Hosea, because Israel had not asked forgiveness of the Lord from what happened back then. And it was a terrible time. The thousands and thousands they killed, but they never had gone to the Lord to ask forgiveness. In this ninth verse again, we read, O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. In other words, you never asked forgiveness. There they stood. They just didn't turn to the Lord. The battle in Gibeah against the children of Israel of iniquity did not overtake them. They stood there. They persisted in their sins. They stood their ground, and they did not... The Lord didn't punish them as of yet. The battle hadn't overtaken them at this time in Hosea, but it was going to here in Hosea's day, and it's going to very shortly toward the nation Israel. It's going to overtake the nation Israel, and all those nations, that those confederacies, are going to come against the nation Israel. The Lord here, as he changes from the personal pronoun to the second personal pronoun in this 10th verse, he says, it is my desire that I should chasten them. Up above, he says, thou. He talks to them directly. Thou hast sinned. But now he's changing it. He's distancing himself from them. He said, it is in my desire that I should chasten them. And the people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. God loved and still loves this nation Israel. And he had to discipline them for their sins. And when he speaks here about when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows, this speaks in the Hebrew, it reads, when they are bound to their two transgressions. And these two, they speak of the two places that they set up, that set these calves up at Dan and at Bethel, that they didn't want to go down to Jerusalem. It was too far. It's too much trouble to go down to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. So they began worshiping these calves. But it also has another, it speaks of another one, and I will read it, and then we'll close for tonight. In Jeremiah 2 and the 13th verse. Judgment is hard to take. And sometimes it's hard for some of God's people to judge themselves, but we have to do it. Jeremiah 2 and the 13th verse. The terrible thing to forsake the Lord. Let's start with the 9th verse here. Jeremiah 2:9. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Shittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that hold no water. Those are two things that they did. They forsook the Lord And then they hewed them out their own cisterns instead of going to the fountain of living waters. You know, these are serious things with the Lord, and they should be serious to each one of us. And I thank the Lord that we can take this word in and let it work in our lives and judge ourselves, that we won't be judged. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. Are there any...